Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, replacing garage doors for improved curb appeal and energy efficiency. Details at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. The life of Honesty Bishop has made an impact in Missouri. It is because of her that, earlier this month, the state's Department of Corrections changed its long-held policies around the way prisons treat inmates with HIV. For decades, those policies involved putting incarcerated people into solitary confinement, sometimes for years. That's what happened to Honesty Bishop. Between 2015 and 2021, Honesty spent more than 6 years living in a cold, parking space-sized cell she could leave for only a few hours every week. After she was released from prison, she sued the state and eventually won. But she is not able to appreciate this victory. A little over a year ago, last summer, Honesty Bishop took her life. With me to talk about Honesty Bishop and an historic settlement reached in her lawsuit against Missouri and its Department of Corrections, I'm joined by Kayvon Mansouri, economic development reporter for St. Louis Public Radio. Kayvon, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me.
And we also have Katie Moore, who is a reporter at the Marshall Project. Katie, thank you for joining us.
Good to be here.
And before we go further, I'd like to note that this conversation will include notes about suicide and sexual assault in prison. So to sort of set the stage here, last week in a collaboration between the Marshall Project and the Midwest Newsroom, you both published an investigation that goes deep into the circumstances of Honesty Bishop's time in prison. It was 2,000 days, more than 2,000 days, in fact, in solitary confinement, and her lawsuit, which has now led Missouri to change its policies around inmates with HIV. How is it that you first learned about Honesty Bishop, Katie?
Well, I was actually a reporter at the Kansas City Star before joining the Marshall Project and had written about the lawsuit when it was filed in 2023. And at the time, it was filed anonymously, so I wasn't aware that Honesty Bishop was the woman's name and that she was the plaintiff. But then learned, as I started with the Marshall Project, more about where that lawsuit was a couple years on.
Mm-hmm. And how about with you, Kayvon?
Yeah, so it was actually a few years ago, my former, in the same building, the Midwest Newsroom, as investigative reporter, I had spoken with one of the attorneys at the MacArthur Justice Center and sort of like talked about this story a little bit. And it sort of, you know, ruminated in my head for a while. About a year ago, it sort of popped back in my head. I wonder where that case is these days. And I started doing some research on it, reached out. I saw that Katie had done a story for the KC Star, and now it was at the Marshall Project. And it just seemed like, you know, let's get this going and let's see where this is at. And unfortunately, you know, during that process, you know, I kind of, you know, feel like, you know, a little regretful that I didn't move on it sooner, because honestly, obviously, in between the time I originally learned about the story and the time we started working on it had taken her life. But it reached out to Katie, reached out to MacArthur Justice Center to see where things were. When we first reached out, you know, they hadn't really reached like the settlement process yet. So we were still looking into things, and we started making some record requests and working together. And, you know, kind of the investigation got into full swing. But, you know, the story was it really stood out. I mean, it's 6 years in solitary confinement. It's mm-hmm. something that you look at and you maybe double or triple take at that number.
Mm-hmm. And was it that number that really caught your attention, Katie, as a reporter?
Yeah, I mean, just the length of time was really alarming. And then reading through the lawsuit, some of the conditions of being in solitary, I think, like you mentioned, she was only let out a few hours a week. And, you know, if she had any time outside, which was really limited, but even then it was in a cage, she was shackled when she was transported from solitary to anywhere else. So just the conditions were also really caught my eye and made me want to look into this with Kayvon more.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to go back further to how it was that Honesty Bishop entered prison, and that happened in 2014, and it involved a probation violation. Can you tell us about what it is that led honesty to that point?
Yeah, so it actually started in 2011 when there was an arrest warrant out in O'Fallon for her, and it had alleged that she had stolen something. It was pretty minor. It was worth less than $750. And so an officer showed up to her foster mom's house and had this arrest warrant. And they, at first, Honesty complied and was cooperating. And then she said she got scared. And so she started running from the officer. And there was a bit of a scuffle. And she ended up biting the officer. And at the time, Missouri had a law about transmitting HIV through biting. And so that really added on to the sentence that she ended up serving.
Mm-hmm. And there's a law passed in 1988, right, that criminalized some forms of transmitting HIV. Is that what the biting is connected to?
The original law from the 80s was about, I think, recklessly transmitting HIV, and then the state ended up expanding that law later on to include that provision specifically about biting.
Mm-hmm. And Honesty was 20 at the time that she was incarcerated in 2014, right?
Correct.
I think it's a detail worth talking about because she was still quite a young person at that time. What is it also that you learned about Honesty and, you know, who she was, Kayvon, in the course of the reporting that you did and sort of getting to know the person?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I think that was a big part of what we were trying to find out. You know, we learned a lot through the lawsuit, through record requests, through things, you know, kind of hearing, you know, Honesty's voice through documents almost. But we really wanted to learn about who she was by talking with her attorneys who got to know her, talking with her sister. And what we found, you know, and going back to, you know, 20 years old and police show up your door and you're a little scared. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, there were some people ding dong ditching in my neighborhood and a cop showed up and I was terrified. You know, it definitely wasn't me.
Yeah.
But you know, when I was young, I was, you know, and that can happen. So, you know, but what we learned past that is that, you know, during this time in solitary, you know, Honesty, you know, really was changed by it. She was already transitioning in a male prison to become female, you know. But through it all, her sister, her attorneys really say that she was a really positive person. When they talked to her in prison for the first time, despite at that point being in solitary for 6 years, had a very positive outlook on things. And when she was released in 2022. She got right to trying to live that life that she wanted. You know, she loved singing. She loved Beyonce. She, you know, had these, she loved going to, you know, drag shows and down in the Grove with her sister. She had this really, you know, bright sort of personality. I remember we were talking to Shubra Ori, the lead attorney on the case. And she said, you know, when you talked, this really stuck out to me. She's like, when you talked with Honesty, it was like she was glowing.
Oh.
And I think that really stuck with me. You know, like not being able to know the person, but trying, when you think about someone who, you know, everyone knows someone who like glows, you know, they have that positivity. And so mm-hmm. I think that's what we learned about her.
Yeah. No, neither of you had an opportunity to talk with Honesty Bishop directly, and this person that you've just mentioned, Kayvon, Shubra Ori, did get to know Honesty in, you know, the latter years of her life. Shubra Ori is an attorney with the MacArthur Justice Center, and in an interview yesterday, she told our producer, Danny Wisentowski, that she first met Honesty Bishop not long after that release from prison, and those 6 years of solitary confinement.
Generally, she wanted to talk about the future. And when she started talking about that, when she started talking about those years that she was in solitary confinement, the kind of restrictive housing really rung through her words. You know, she would describe being in these horrific conditions. And be, you know, denied the ability to speak to her family often, to access basic items, you know, constant overload of sound, darkness, you know, the smell of pepper spray. And and also the feeling of coping with that torture without an understanding of when she would ever be released, if ever. But you could tell when you would talk to her that she was really struggling to cope with what she had endured. And that manifested in a lot of different ways, including, unfortunately, several suicide attempts.
And that was Shubra Ori, an attorney with the MacArthur Justice Center, who worked as part of Honesty Bishop's legal team. So Honesty lived about 3 years after her release from prison. What did you learn about that particular time in her life? There are some things that you have mentioned, Kayvon, but what were the struggles specifically she was facing?
Yeah, so after Honesty got out of prison, she reunited with her sisters. You know, I'd mentioned that there were good times, but there were struggles as well. The impact of 6 years in solitary confinement really weighed on her. Tasha, her sister, told us that basically she had a really hard time being in crowds, really had struggled around law enforcement, and had a hard time, you know, being comfortable around law enforcement officers, and just generally, you know, the tax that time that in solitary took on her really played a role. But there were other things too. She, you know, like I said, she was positive. She got a job, she got a car, and she actually had a partner for a time. But unfortunately, and one of the things that her sisters has played into her taking her own life was that her partner actually had passed away not long before she did. And there was a lot of problems with acceptance. You know, she was a person who had transitioned, and the community, her partner's family. There were a lot of identity struggles. She found that in some places, in like the Grove, she could, you know, in like that community, she could be herself, and that made her happy. But unfortunately, those struggles. She had a very tough life.
Mm-hmm. We mentioned earlier that Honesty Bishop transitioned during her time in incarceration. Her being trans, Katie, did that fact affect how the prison system treated her?
It's a little unclear specifically how that affected her, but we know from several studies that people who are transgender in prison are particularly vulnerable to sexual assault and violence by both staff and other people who are in prison.
Mm-hmm. So she's facing a lot. Insofar as how other states, what their policies are around people who are who have HIV, Missouri is just one of three states that have specific policies around that. Can you tell us a little bit more about other states' approaches?
Yeah, so, you know, there were some previous litigation about automatically sending people with HIV into solitary when they entered a prison system. And so that is no longer allowed. We looked at all of the states and we were able to collect the policies on solitary and administrative segregation for 49 states. And so in reviewing all of those policies, Michigan, Alaska, and Missouri were the only three in the U.S. that singled out people with HIV specifically in their solitary policies.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything about these three states that, you know, is a common thread?
Yeah, it's unclear what you know, if it's just kind of the last vestiges where they haven't caught up, or, you know, why those are still on the books in those three particular states.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break here, but we will be back shortly to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation about the case of Missourian Honesty Bishop. Bishop spent more than 2,000 days in solitary confinement at the Jefferson City Correctional Center because of the state's policy regarding HIV-positive inmates. She filed a federal lawsuit against the Missouri Department of Corrections after her release on parole in 2022. And just last week, a settlement was reached in her case that changed state policy. Before the break, we were talking about the conditions that Honesty Bishop experienced in prison and the more than 6 years she spent in solitary confinement. Now, the reason she entered solitary was a terrifying experience. In 2015, 1 year after she entered prison, Honesty Bishop was the victim of a sexual assault by her cellmate. And this set off a series of reactions. And although Honesty was a victim in this situation, she was the one who wound up in solitary confinement. Kayvon, what is it that you learned about how this happened to her?
Yeah, so, and I'll just be clear. She was assaulted, and the way it was is kind of formally said, her cellmate attempted to sexually assault her.
Okay.
So from there, she was sent to solitary confinement, and we, through records requests, got sort of the documentation of this time, which really was eye-opening for us because it kind of showed the the sort of weird way this is, like, the way people go into solitary, the way they have to get out. But basically, if you look through all these documents, it shows a numerous, you know, first she comes in, she has one reason for being there. Then it changes. And there's this documentation is not consistent. But basically, you know, what her lawyers allege and what the state has basically settled to is that she was put in there because of this policy that is sort of hidden deep within the Missouri Department of Corrections policy on solitary confinement. And what it says is that basically along with incarcerated people who, are assault people, sexually assault people, rape people, you know, on the very last thing listed there, people who are HIV positive and sexually active are people who can be put into solitary confinement. So we're talking about, along with, you know, rapists, things of that nature, this thing is, and there's a question of like, well, who is saying who is sexually active? So that is what happened. She went in, and you can see in the documents, as I was saying, like there's sometimes no information put in the reasoning as why she's in there. And this goes on for years. And, you know, she would have, I think one of the things that we saw in the documents that really stood out to us is like, you know, Honesty at one point, there's a little box that says, prisoner statement or something like that. And it said something along the lines of like, I haven't done anything wrong. Like it's been years and I haven't done anything wrong. When am I going to get out? And like, just that confusion and the mystery and sort of like this sort of, you know, cascading, like, you know, punishment. But yeah, I mean, the policy is what kept her there.
In the lawsuit against Missouri's Department of Corrections, Honesty Bishop described her experience with very brief hearings about her case, and her attorneys called these, quote, sham reviews. Katie, what did you learn about those hearings? Did Honesty ever get a chance to get updates about her case?
From the records that we got, it really didn't seem like there was, that she had any information about when she was going to be released or what she needed to do to get released. And like Kayvon was mentioning, you know, there are several times when she goes into these hearings and she tells them, I've been good. And even in the records, it shows that the corrections officials who were reviewing her placement in solitary note, I think over a dozen times, that, you know, she'd had no violations since the previous hearing.
And also, you know, Honesty Bishop had been attacked. There was an attempted sexual assault. Did she ever have any opportunity to remind officials that was sort of the beginning of her many, many, many days in prison?
So I don't know if we'll ever know, because we filed records requests. Honesty filed grievances and complaints. And when we requested those, the Missouri Department of Corrections came back and said they couldn't release it to us because of a safety issue. And we were hoping to get those eventually, but we never did. Mm-hmm. But you know, her lawyers, Shubra and the others, had told us that basically, honestly, told them that she said lots of things at those hearings, but that's what these one lines is what we're getting basically.
Mm-hmm. So this lawsuit settlement, it just happened. The federal lawsuit that Honesty Bishop filed, it has led to some real policy change in Missouri's prisons. Katie, what will that change be going forward?
Yeah, so there are a few different changes that are coming from the settlement. Maybe the most significant is that the policy where somebody with HIV who is considered sexually active with HIV, that part is going to be rescinded from the written policy on solitary confinement. And then there are some other terms where people who do end up in solitary with HIV, they'll have access to some further assessments with medical staff and some additional training for prison staff as well.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other states, you know, around Missouri that are doing this better? Not sure.
It's hard. It's really hard to say. I mean, we did a lot of research to see, you know, what's going on in the area. And for the most part, what we found, well, in this country, I would say. And I think the thing we found is that in most solitary confinement policies, HIV isn't even considered. Mm-hmm. Maybe once upon a time it was, you know, in the 80s and things like that. But those policies have gone away.
Mm-hmm. Shubra Ori, again, an attorney with the MacArthur Justice Center, was part of the legal team that represented Honesty Bishop. And Ori said that this kind of settlement, one that includes lasting change, was the goal that Honesty was hoping to achieve.
Honesty was always clear in her work, you know, in this work, in this case, that she wanted to bring this case for justice for herself. But more, even perhaps more importantly, to make sure that this, what happened to her, didn't happen to someone else. The policy itself has changed, and there's now a requirement that DOC officials consult with medical when considering segregation, and, you know, with respect to communicable diseases, which, you know, once someone does consult with medical, they will learn, you know, whether or not someone is a risk, and probably the answer is no, that they are not a risk. And also the settlement achieves some important training for DOC officials. So not only is the policy itself changed, you know, you can't rely on that anymore to put someone in segregation because of their HIV status, but also there's additional education so that DOC officials truly know that, you know, what that policy is and why putting someone in segregation because of their HIV status is unjust and discriminatory and ultimately unconstitutional.
That was Shubra Ori, an attorney with the MacArthur Justice Center. And I should mention here that her references to, quote, segregation are being used as a term for solitary confinement, the conditions under which Honesty Bishop suffered for more than 6 years. Your report also includes that as of January 2025, 218 people with HIV were incarcerated in the state of Missouri, and that includes 12 who are at the Jefferson City Correctional Center. That's the same facility where Honesty Bishop spent more than 2,000 days in solitary confinement. Katie, is there anything known about the conditions for those inmates, the remaining ones? And, you know, how will these recent reforms affect the lives of, you know, up to 200 people?
Yeah, I mean, it's unclear how many people are placed in segregation with HIV based on that status. That is something that the Department of Corrections said those aren't numbers that they keep. But it should prevent them from being placed there based on their status from here on out.
Mm-hmm. And finally, there's the work that Honesty Bishop's family did. Honesty has passed before she was able to see the conclusion of this lawsuit. Have you had any opportunity to connect with Honesty's family and how they're feeling about this settlement?
You know, honestly, I'll be honest. You know, as you know, I've been transitioning to a new position here at St. Louis Public Radio, but
right.
I haven't talked directly to them. But from what I've heard from the attorneys, that they are happy that this legacy, you know, this is Honesty's legacy. This is what she wanted. She wanted to prevent this thing. And I just wanted to jump back because, you know, you're talking about when Schubert was talking about, you know, she made a good point. The sort of cascading tragedies of Honesty's life. When she was sexually assaulted, she could not pass HIV. She had medicine. The Missouri Department of Corrections knew that about her, and she still was put in solitary confinement. So what this policy does, this policy change does, is kind of cement a legacy for Honesty. And I believe when we spoke with Tasha, that's what she wanted. She wanted to move it forward for Honesty, get this done for her, so that she knew, Tasha knew, and that Honesty, you know, wherever she might be, could know that this is not going to happen to anybody in the state of Missouri again.
Mm-hmm. Kayvon Mansouri is economic development reporter for St. Louis Public Radio, and Katie Moore is a reporter at the Marshall Project. You can read Katie and Kayvon's joint investigative report for 2,000 Days, A Prisoner's Pleas from Solitary Were Ignored. Now Missouri is changing its policy. You can read that at stlpr.org. Kayvon and Katie, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.